It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
And welcome to another edition of Wayne's Comics. This week I'll be talking with Cy Dutton, who we've spoken with before, who's the creator of Cancer Town and The Indifference Engine. And he's going to give us an update on his projects, but he's also going to talk about something that's a real important topic that we should listen to. There's a comic that people have been trying to prevent from being published over in the UK. It really is unnerving to hear about it, but it's something we need to listen to. And of course, we'll do the usual stuff. We'll talk about the comics that are out this week, as well as the things that are in your comic shop. So let's get to my interview with Cy Dutton. We're talking with Cy Dutton again, creator of independent comics such as Cancer Town and Indifference Engine. How are you doing today, Cy?
Pretty good, actually. I'm having a very nice, fourth bank holiday in a row, and there's going to be more coming up as well. It's been a bizarrely work-free month.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah, we don't get those over here in the States. We don't get another holiday until, I think, Memorial Day.
Apparently some fatuous rich people were getting married or something. I didn't really hear about it.
Okay, we won't go into that.
So we're sort of celebrating their pointless, frivolous lives.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's not get into that here. You had something that you wanted to talk about, so why don't you go ahead and jump into that?
Cool. Well, I mean, the big news for me at the moment is that Cancer Town is now finally going to be available as a trade paperback in the US and globally. Previously, it's not really been out there. Obviously, we've had the digital versions, but this is the first time now that we're actually going to get it out globally as a trade paperback.
Great. I've read the story and I like it real well, so I'm very happy to hear that.
Well, we're pretty excited about it. And the thing really is it's a chance to get Steven's work on the artwork there seen on a much larger stage than we've had the opportunity for before. So, I mean, if it accomplishes nothing else, that would be the thing. You know, that in itself would be enough.
Well, I think the fact that you get more readers and the possibility of getting more people can check out both your work and his, I think that's a great move forward.
Cheers. Well, I mean, we actually have a diamond code if you want that.
Yep, please.
I'm told that it is APR 11-07-45.
Okay, so what that tells me is that was in the April issue. The APR at the beginning means April, so that's cool.
It's going to be cheaper than it's been previously because since it hasn't had the wide distribution, there have been copies of the original Insomnia edition of Cancer Town up on Amazon.com. At the moment, I think the cheapest one is like $56.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually seen signed copies, and this is insane. I think we've seen a signed copy being put on sale for over $2,500.
Goodness.
Which we're kind of wondering if that was just a mistake and the guy had meant to put it up for 25 but just about fallen asleep on the zero key. But you never know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, if you were thinking of buying it for that, you might want to hold off for the new edition because you're probably going to be able to pick it up slightly cheaper than that. You know, that I don't want to do the guy out of a sale, you know, best of luck to him, but
no, that the money would go to you, which wouldn't be a bad thing. Some of it would, which is not a bad thing.
That's a theory. So.
It keeps you doing more Cancer Town. If this one guy gets it, I don't think he'll be able to make any more of that. So it would be better to wait and let you and your artist get a hold of some of that.
I figure this guy, his theory must be, well, you know, I only have to sell one at that price.
That was the old Jonathan Winters joke that he used to sell. He was Mob Cricket, who was an old lady, and he said he used to sell Christmas cards, and he sold them for $1 million each. And they said, well, who's going to buy that? And he used to always say, all I need is one customer, just one.
That must be the theory.
Yeah, so that's kind of what that's all about. Well, that's good. That's congratulations on that. I'm looking forward to see how the American audience responds to it.
Yeah, cool. Thanks a lot. It's going to be an interesting one, yeah.
Okay, now the second thing you want to talk about, there's a writer by the name of Stephen Paul Coffey who's launching a self-published book called The Society for the Remarkable Suicide. You wanted to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, this got onto my radar because one of the artists involved in this book is Rob Carey, who drew The Indifference Engine for me, and we're looking to sort of roll into a sequel with that. This thing drove me insane when I heard the story because, I mean, I'm bearing in mind, I've heard of some fairly extreme reactions to people's work coming out. We live in a world where some people think that it is an acceptable criticism to send fecal matter through the post to a writer, all right, as a critique on their work. Okay, now, this was my baseline for how insane people can be. Mm-hmm. This book by Stephen Coffey has taken that to a whole new level because the man is getting death threats. Mm-hmm. All right, now, the book is called The Society for the Remarkable Suicide. All right, and you can pick this up on Indie Planet. I believe it's available on Lulu. And I strongly suggest that you go and look for this book because this is something that genuinely needs supporting. This is the kind of work, exactly the kind of work that needs to be promoted. But the thing is, it has the word suicide in the title, which to some, apparently, is an unpardonable sin. All right. Now, the book is not about suicide. That's kind of the side issue, but it's a way of opening the discussion. And in Ireland, where Stephen lives, this is actually a very difficult and very contentious topic. It's actually a huge thing. But the moment that the word about this book started coming out, there was a small minority of people who leapt to the conclusion, based pretty much exclusively on the title, that this was some kind of manual for suicide. It was some kind of exploitational, suicide as entertainment thing. And totally missed the point of the story. The story is actually about two people who find each other and in doing so find a reason to live. It's entirely constructive. It's entirely the opposite of the way that has been portrayed. But they've had Facebook pages taken down two or three times due to people, complaining. They've had at least one insane person who actually was threatening over Twitter to essentially murder anybody who was involved in the book. It escalated over the course of a month or 2 months of what this guy was saying. This man who claimed to be – I'm presuming man. I don't know. This guy claimed to be someone who worked at a suicide hotline and was strongly religious and extremely political. And, he started off saying, I'm trying to drum up support to get these Facebook pages taken down, to get this book canceled, to make sure that it wouldn't come out. And the guy was so convinced that God was on his side, literally, God was on his side and God would not see this book come out. And he wasn't getting any support from Twitter because obviously the people that he was preaching to were actually largely independent comics fans and creators anyway. And you're not going to make headway with people who actually are prepared to think about the subject. And it got to the point that he claimed at the end that they had a signing in, I believe, Dublin at a comic shop. And the guy had threatened to, he said he'd bought his ticket. He was coming over and he was threatening the writer. He was threatening the artist. He was threatening their friends. And he essentially gave the impression, or tried to give the impression, that he was going to come over and just kick off and attempt to kill anybody who was supporting the book. And he had his God on his side, apparently, and it didn't come to anything. When we first talked about this, when I first emailed you about this thing, that was still up in the air. The signing hadn't happened yet. But as it turns out, it was a big success. Everything went fine. Everything was good. And this guy either didn't make it or was just full of hot air from the outset. But the point of this is the crime that Stephen Coffey has committed, the crime that this book is guilty of is daring to open a discussion in an adult way about a topic that needs to be discussed, that you cannot be just, you can't just shut down the discussion because that's the single most destructive thing that you can do. This is censorship by the most ill-informed segment of society, those who are most ignorant about the thing that they're trying to ban. And the outcomes, the book is a success, the reviews are good. By all accounts, this is a worthwhile book to support. But that's only one of the possible outcomes that we could be talking about right now. Had this gone another way, we could have been talking about an insane act of violence at a comic book signing. We could have been talking about how a writer and a team of creators had been forced to stifle their own work in order to keep from this kind of aggressive reaction. But to their absolute credit, they completely stuck by their guns. And knowing Rob Carey, I'm not remotely surprised because he's absolutely fearless in defense of this kind of work. He was never going to be cowed by this. But it just amazes me. Stephen has had guys in motorcycle helmets coming to his door and threatening violence. You know, so a masked man coming twice to your door saying, cancel the book or you're in trouble. This is astonishing. It's outrageous. And the fact that we have so far a happy ending out of this thing is to me enormously encouraging. But at the same time, it's fascinating and horrifying to me that we have people who are prepared on the strength of, you know, just a rising tide of hysteria, who are prepared to go to these extremes when they don't have the first clue what they're talking about. I'm being as diplomatic as I can about that, and I'm trying very hard not to lapse into the vernacular, but I don't know what rating you put on your show, but anyone who's heard me talk before is probably going to realize quite how restrained I'm being about this, because it drives me insane.
Well, have you actually read the comic?
I've read the first part of it, because it's coming out in three sections.
Okay.
I got the first one, and it's everything that the writer claims it was. You know, it's controversial, most assuredly, and it's designed to be, because it's opening the topic in a confrontational way, as it has to do. But the people who are, you know, thinking of this book in terms of being, you know, an exploitational attempt to profit from a real world tragic phenomenon, they're not going to find it here. They're not going to find that in this book. Now, it's a profoundly life-affirming story, and to try and kill it out of ignorance is just the worst affront.
It's interesting to me because there was an episode of Deep Space Nine that had to do with suicide, Worf's brother. Basically, and you had been dishonored, you know, and of course in the Klingon culture, they had to commit suicide. And what the solution that they came to was rather, you know, unique, I thought. What they did was they basically changed his mind so he thought he was a different person. Otherwise, he would have committed suicide. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. But there were a lot of people back at that point who were very unhappy with the episode. So this isn't the first time this has happened. I'm not terribly surprised, but I'm somewhat disappointed. You know, that DS9 episode happened almost 15 years ago. And, you know, we've made a lot of progress, I thought, since then, but I guess not everybody has.
When you've got, you know, a property with a weight and authority and money behind it, of a Deep Space Nine, that's one thing. You can weather that probably a little better. We're talking now about a book that's being essentially self-published by people who are suddenly finding themselves having their photographs taken as they go around their hometown and then being posted in a threatening fashion. You know, that these people were prepared to get that close, that personal, that quickly, with that little information, amazes me.
Yeah, I don't understand why, if you don't like the book, just ignore it. There's something out there, just don't buy it. You know, the truth of it is I was going to get this book when you mentioned it to me, but now I'm even more going to get it, because I think that if people are willing to condemn something before they even read it, I don't get that.
Yeah, it is an outrage that this could happen and would be allowed to get to this stage. And the fact that all the creators have stuck by it, and at no point have they wavered, at no point have they genuinely thought about, you know, oh, is this really, is it all worth it? It's worth it, you know, and it's always worth it. They absolutely stuck by their guns, and that, to me, is the inspiring upshot of this whole sorry, shameful episode. I said the people should absolutely be ashamed of themselves, with one exception. All right. Apparently, there was one person who jumped on the bandwagon and got excited about it and sent a lot of hate mail about it, but was eventually convinced by the writer to actually read the section of the book that was available. That one person is the only person I've heard of who has taken that time, that much trouble, reversed their opinion immediately, and sent a retraction, emailed Stephen and told him, you know, this is my mistake. Sorry. And the fact that we're talking about there only being one person who could take the trouble to do that, I mean, that's depressing, but it's still a mark in the win column.
Right.
And the book is out. It's a success. It's popular. It's very well reviewed. And it deserves to be supported.
Great. I guess since I'm in the States here, it's probably not available to us here yet. But is it available at Amazon.UK?
I mean, there's a digital version as well that you'd be very likely to be able to get hold of.
Where do you get the digital version?
Lulu.com.
Okay.
And if you just do a search for it there, that's the easiest thing. I can read you out the very, very long URL. But
oh, that's okay.
You'd get the search query before I could finish reading it out.
Okay. It's the Society for the Remarkable Suicide. And guess what? And it's by Stephen Paul Coffey. And did you say who the artist was?
Yep. The artists are Rob Carey and
that's
Cormac
right.
Hughes.
That's right.
Also, I believe there is a script book available,
Mm.
which you may be able to get on Amazon.
what we heartily recommend is people go to Hulu and buy this book and support. And I hope that you let Mr. Coffey and Mr. Carey know that we support him in this, that a comic is a place to at least discuss things. And it's interesting when comics actually look into controversial subjects, because it doesn't happen all that often. So it's something we should be supporting, I think.
You have to wonder, would this fuss have reached this stage if it had not been a comic? Is there still the embedded prejudice against adult material, you know, grown-up discussions in this medium? You have to think there's probably an element of that in there still.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope that comic book readers are a little more enlightened than that, but I guess not all of us are. And you never know. I mean, this person might not be a comic book reader. They might have somewhere seen something about it and just sort of assumed out of the blue, you know, what was going on.
Well, obviously, it's important not to lose sight of the fact that ultimately this has been a victory. Mm-hmm. So, the book did come out. Everyone stuck by their guns.
Good.
And it's a triumph on those grounds.
Well, glad to hear it. I hope that we can make it even more of a triumph by buying it and continuing to support it. So,
absolutely.
I hope we can do that. And also, we'll be sure to support the Cancer Town trade paperback when it shows up here in the States. And I know the people in the UK have been buying it. So we'll look forward to that. Sounds great.
Cool.
Okay, Si, it's good, as always, good to talk to you. I guess we'll talk to you again here when something comes up and give us a progress report, as you will.
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Faster than a speeding bullet. Powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And now, another exciting episode.
First thing I want to review in the comics section is Action Comics number 900, which has caused no little stir. The thing that amuses me the most is that the Lex Luthor story that Paul Cornell had developed for several issues and concludes in this special comic didn't get nearly the attention that a little story by David Goyer did in the back. It's called The Incident. Superman goes to Iraq, and he's standing in Tehran in a peaceful protest, but what happens is the United States government is kind of angry with him about it. And so Superman, I guess, finally has enough to say he's going to, and I quote, "I intend to speak before the United Nations tomorrow and inform them that I am renouncing my U.S. citizenship. I'm tired of having my actions construed as instruments of U.S. policy. Truth, justice, and the American way, it's not enough anymore. The world's too small, too connected." That kind of bothers me on some levels, and on the others it doesn't bother me at all. I've always considered, since Superman developed powers that could take him all over the world and, in fact, into space, that he was never just an American hero. I always considered him a galactic one. Now, he was in charge, the titular lead of the Justice League of America, which, of course, has America in the title. But the thing is that he was raised in America. His sensibilities are American. And so there's a lot of controversy with people. Is this a good move for Superman or is it not? The thing I need to point out is that Superman is not a citizen of anywhere. The person who's the citizen is Clark Kent. And he can always renounce his citizenship. But the bad news is, if he does that, it's going to be pretty obvious that he's Superman, because Superman has just made the very public announcement about that. So I don't think that's a really big deal. I know that David Goyer, who writes a lot of good movies and things like that, wants to get his name out there, I'm sure, with Superman. But the terrible thing is that I doubt very seriously that this is going to stay in DC continuity. There have been times when DC has been very happy to ignore things that have happened, like, for example, the birth of Damian Wayne. Mike W. Barr wrote that story several decades ago, and DC Comics basically said it wasn't part of canon. In other words, forget it. Until Grant Morrison came along. And when Grant Morrison decided he wanted to recreate Robin in Damian Wayne's image, suddenly it was back. So I don't know. I guess they're going to see what's happened, what all the big fuss is about, and see how long it lasts, and is it a positive or negative? Will people go out and buy more of Action Comics number 900 because of that? And by the way, I do want to congratulate DC for putting out Action Comics number 900. I don't think we've had an American comic before that has reached the milestone of number 900. So congratulations to Action Comics. I suppose that if it sells well, we might get more. Maybe we'll get to 1,000. But as far as the Superman controversy goes, I would much rather read the Paul Cornell story at the beginning. The ultimate confrontation between Lex Luthor and Superman is a great one, and it's definitely worth it. And that's half the book. So I think the David Goyer story is kind of cool. It's interesting. I don't mind it if Superman decides he doesn't want to be considered an agent of the U.S. government. I never thought he was. So for me, that's kind of crazy stuff. But as far as the Superman controversy goes, buy the book. That's the biggest controversy. Are you going to buy it or not? So please buy Action Comics number 900. I want to get to number 1,000.
This is Mark Waid.
Hi, this is Amanda Tapping.
Hello, I'm Steve Pugh.
And you can catch them all right here on SFP Now.
And let's get to the rest of the comics that came out this week. From Dark Horse, one of my favorite books is Dr. Solar, Man of the Atom, number 6. Jim Shooter is doing this book, and I really like what he's doing with it. It's very true to the original's character, except he doesn't have the green face, thankfully. And I like the book real well. On the other hand, Turok, Son of Stone really isn't doing much for me. It's really as cold as stone. Issue number 2 is out, but if you have to choose, get Dr. Solar. That's a better one. Also coming up from DC Comics besides Action Comics number 900 is Batman Incorporated number 5. Grant Morrison's really doing a good job on that book. I didn't think he could pull it off, to be frank. I really thought that Batman should be a creature of the night, not a creature of the boardroom. But he's doing a pretty good job of making Batman set up his whole worldwide organization, and I like that. The two big things that are out this week that really deserve mentioning are Brightest Day number 24 and Justice League Generation Lost number 24. Those were the bi-weekly comics that were coming out from DC, and they end really nicely. Justice League Generation Lost looks like the Justice League International is going to be coming back under Batman's tutelage, and Brightest Day is bringing back the Swamp Thing as part of the White Lantern Corps, which is really interesting. Gonna be curious to see how that develops. Green Arrow number 11 from Brightest Day, that's working out real well. JT Krull does a wonderful job on that comic as well as the Titans, so definitely get that. Flash number 11, which is part of the Flashpoint event, that's a prequel to Flashpoint. Be sure to get that because we're doing some really interesting things on that. Our friend Mr. Jeff Johns never fails to entertain. Justice Society number 50. We get to see Tom Derenick start to pencil the book, and he's a northeastern Pennsylvania native like I am, and he does a nice job on the art. I really enjoy the art. Very dynamic, very flowing, so if you want to get that, Justice Society of America number 50, definitely worth the buy. Zombie number 2 is great fun. I like that book. It fills my different quotient really nicely. John Rosum is writing it and coming up with the usual great and weird things, so Zombie number 2 is something I would recommend. From IDW, there are 3 books that I got this week, and that includes Doctor Who Ongoing, Volume 2, Number 4. It's got Matt Smith's Doctor in it and his companions, and it's a great fun book. If you like the show, I think you'll enjoy the book. If you like True Blood, you'll enjoy True Blood Tainted Love, Number 3, from IDW. It's created by some of the people who are working on the show, and it's pretty true to the series. I like it real well. But the thing I like the most from IDW is Lock and Key, which is being turned into a Fox television series. This is the 4th miniseries. It's called Keys to the Kingdom, number 6 of 6. We see that Dodge, who has been trying to get one of the most important keys from the family, has not been able to do it as a male companion to some of the folks. So he decides to inhabit one of the bodies of the family members, and that's a very interesting twist. It really is a game changer, and I think we'll be curious to see when we go into the next miniseries. From Image, the ones that I liked the best were Morning Glories number 9 from Nick Spencer and Walking Dead number 84, where things are all going to hell in a handbasket, but what's new? That's The Walking Dead for you every month, thanks to Robert Kirkman. From Marvel, I'm really disappointed in FF number 2. The whole notion of putting Dr. Doom in the Fantastic Four just isn't working for me. And I just don't like the family interplay that the daughter is doing all this stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me, so we'll see how much longer I hold on to FF. On the other hand, Orson Scott Card's Speaker for the Dead, number 4 or 5, is great. That book is such a good story. It just grips me from the moment I open the first page right on through. It's very true to the original novel. So I think that's cool. Also from Marvel is Mark Waid. He does Ruse, number 2 of 4. I didn't know that was a miniseries. I'm a little discouraged by that. The story of a detective and his quote-unquote sidekick, and she doesn't like being called that. It's a lot of adventure, a lot of mystery. Interesting book. Let's go to other comic companies. There's several from Boom, including Dracula Company of Monsters number 9, written by Kurt Busiek. A good book. Meanwhile, Incorruptible number 17 by Mark Waid is out. That's a good book, too. What's really interesting, and I know my friend Gianluca Glazer really liked it, was Planet of the Apes number 1. I liked it as well. Probably not as much as he did, but it's still a very good book. Don't miss it. And the last thing from Boom that I got was Stan Lee Traveler number 6. Mr. Lee's grand poobah status continued to do a good job with these hero books that Boom Studios is doing. From other companies was ERP Saints for Sinners number 3 of 4 from Radical. Rassel, R-A-S-L, number 10, which is Link Cartoon Books. Mr. Smith, I wish he would kind of pick the pace up a little. It feels like it's just kind of plodding at this point. I'm starting to lose interest. Don't lose me. I'd really like to stay with this book. And from Dynamite Warlord of Mars, number 6, the John Carter stories. Very good stuff. I would definitely recommend it. Be sure to pick it up. And those are the comics that came out this week. Let's get to one of my favorite parts of Wayne's Comics, and that is talking about what the crazy things are that are showing up in your comic store this week. Since Doctor Who is going great guns, there's a whole lot of Doctor Whoian stuff. And we've got the 4th Doctor Centauran Experiment action figure set, the 5th Doctor Revenge of the Daleks action figure set, you've got Doctor Who CD Series 05, the Cybermen Delete Mug, the Pandorica action figures and CD collection, and Doctor Who the Movie SE. You've also got Doctor Who's Story Behind Every Face Time Lord hardcover. So that could be an interesting story. So you Whovians, boy, they're really trying to get you into the comic store these last several weeks. Speaking of DVDs, Green Hornet with Seth Rogen is in the comic store. I just don't know about that. I really came away nonplussed from the movie, sadly. So I didn't order it through the bookstore, but I would say go ahead and get it. While you're at it, you may as well pick up Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. That's also out on Blu-ray. There are several Flex Fit caps that are out this week, including Green Lantern and, appropriately enough, Thor, since those movies are actually going to be something in competition. By the way, the Thor film did really well overseas. It hasn't opened up in the States yet, but it will this weekend, so get ready for Thor to invade your local theater. There's a Monopoly game based on Cars 2. That's out. We have Roman Dirge's Evil Needs Candy. There's all different kinds, apparently. The t-shirts. Black, Juniors, Regulars, the Ultimate Death Monkey one, The Worst Pirate Ever. If you want to wear those on your chest, be ready. There's also Star Wars stuff out. There's Star Wars action figures. The vintage kind are out. There's also Legacy Comic action figures. Must be based on the comic. There's also the Slave Leia minibust. Boy, how many guys like the Slave Leia? So that will be something that'd be worth getting. There's also Walt Before Mickey Disney Early Years hardcover for $35. So that's something interesting to get. But to me, the funny thing of the week, and I always get a kick out of finishing with these good things, I love the Kiss Ace Frehley Wacky Wobbler. Then there's the Kiss Paul Stanley Wacky Wobbler. Then there's the Kiss Peter Chris Wacky Wobbler. Wacky Wobblers don't do much for me, and I just get a huge kick out of them. The fact that Kiss has Wacky Wobble heads is, to me, real. It's kind of how far Kiss has fallen these days. They're reduced to selling Wacky Wobblers, so... Oh, man, there's always something interesting and crazy in the comic book store, and that's what's there this week. And that's another edition of Wayne's Comics. I again wanted to thank Sidetown for coming on and talking with me about an important subject, as well as giving us an update of where his comics are at. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to next week. We'll have more fun then and some more interesting stuff. So please be sure to tune in. But until then, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.